Welcome back to In Search of Tarot, a podcast that examines, questions, and reimagines our approach to life and the cards.
Through guest interviews and in-depth discussions, we'll explore and expand the beautiful complexities of spirituality, philosophy, magic, and more.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Angie.
And we're your hosts for this fascinating ride.
Thanks for being here with us.
Our guest today is Brittany Carmona Holt. Brittany, who uses she/her pronouns and goes by the title The Birth Witch, is a full-spectrum doula, birth photographer, and writer who has worked as a birth assistant to a local community midwife and as a class facilitator for a community-based doula training program, Day One Doula Collective. She is a queer bisexual witch with ADHD who approaches her work within reproductive justice from a spiritual lens. Her book, Tarot for Pregnancy, A Companion for Radical Magical Birthing Folks, was just published by new revolutionary publisher Row House Publishing just this past June. She is an amateur herbalist, a poet, a partner, and a parent to a beautiful gender-defiant unicorn child, Kalo Sol, and is expecting her second babe this winter. Before we launch into this conversation, I just want to remind everyone that if you are interested in working with me during this magical time of year when the veil is at its thinnest, my books are currently open for private tarot consultations through the end of October. And lastly, this coming Sunday, October 30th, Angie and I will be hosting our October Tarot Hang, which is open to all members of our Patreon community. The money that we raise each month on Patreon makes it possible for us to compensate all of our incredible guests, like Brittany, for their time, energy, and wisdom. We are so appreciative of our incredible Patreon community, and we show that appreciation by providing weekly Mystic Missive newsletters, discounts on workshops and classes, early releases of every episode of this podcast, and by hosting these very special monthly hangs on Zoom. If you'd like to come hang out with us this Sunday, October 30th, head over to patreon.com/insearchoftarot. I'll put links to that and to book a reading with me in the show notes as well. All right, now on to my conversation with Brittany Carmona Holt. Enjoy. Well, Brittany, welcome to In Search of Tarot. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk to you about this amazing book, Tarot for Pregnancy. I was telling you before we started recording that I found you through Row House Publishing, who I really love all of their authors and all the work that they put out. And I just found this to be a really unique take on tarot. I'm very excited to share it with everyone who's listening. And you know, whether you are someone who is birthing or not, I think there's a lot to be gained from this perspective on the card. So I'm really excited to talk to you about it.
And we probably all know somebody who has been pregnant before or will be. So yeah, agreed. Relevant to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely.
We were also all born. So.
Yes, right.
Relevant.
Yeah. So to kind of help us root into, you know, who you are, and what moment you're in now, and you were sharing that you're actually currently pregnant as well. Mm-hmm. So will you just kind of share a little bit about, you know, how you would describe yourself, both who you are and also where you are in the world?
Sure. I am currently living on unceded Anishinaabe land, which is in like Southwest Michigan. I am a mother, a partner, a full spectrum doula, a tarot reader, and a author now of a book called Tarot for Pregnancy, A Companion for Radical Magical Birthing Folks. For folks who need a visual description, I'm a white woman with freckles and lots of tattoos, and I'm coming from my office right now on like a rainy Michigan day. I am a queer bisexual witch with ADHD, so that impacts a lot of my lens of how I write, and I'm sure I'm missing some stuff. I've done a lot of work within the realm of birth work that isn't necessarily as a doula either. I'm a facilitator for a community-based doula training program. I've been a birth assistant to a local community midwife. Do you have any questions about what any of those things are? I could extrapolate.
Yeah, well, I actually would love for you to kind of talk about full spectrum doulaship for anyone that may be unfamiliar with that.
Sure. Yeah. So full spectrum means that you support and show up for people on the entire reproductive continuum, whether that be loss through miscarriage or abortion, to pregnancy, to postpartum. And for me, that includes parenting as well. And including like losses along the trying to conceive journey, like IVF and things like that. So it encompasses everything. Like I feel capable of showing up and supporting people going through all of those experiences, even though, of course, I have like more of my specialties within like all of that, because that's a lot of things, you know. But yeah, it means I don't exclude or not support anybody based on like what their current reproductive experiences they're navigating.
So before we kind of dive into the book, Tarot for Pregnancy, I'd just love to hear a little bit more about kind of your spiritual upbringing, if you had any spirituality in your childhood, and also how tarot found its way into your life.
I was raised Christian. I was raised in a Methodist church. We eventually went to a non-denominational church. It was something I questioned from like an extremely young age, now that I look back on it, in terms of vibes I didn't even know I was picking up on, or just things that didn't check out to me within like how that was presented to me since childhood. So I was raised in like a very normal Midwestern, like puritanical type of household. So I was gifted my first deck when I was 16, but I didn't really like dive into it. But I more so look back on now, like if I'm trying to like excavate my childhood for like how magic showed up for me initially, I remember actually like building an actual relationship with like the archetypes and the cards of Candyland. You know how there's like
Oh,
a
yeah.
little like ice princess? She's totally like Queen of Swords
Yeah.
vibes, you know? And they were like so bent up, because I'd have them like, I would put the like a little unintentional altars, you know? So yeah, like clearly there was some kind of like connection with like cartomancy and visually represented archetypes like that. You know what I'm saying? But then I started reading tarot in earnest, more so for myself in 2014. In like 2015 and 16 is when I started offering it to like people in my close circle. I had a hard time, a long time spent of like just like gathering information and learning and not like offering that to anybody else. But as you probably know, you kind of have to like start reading for people other than yourself if you want to see the full spectrum of what these cards can even mean, you know, if you
Sure.
actually want to learn. Yeah, so that's how I came to tarot.
I love the story about Candyland. I mean, first of all, I loved that game as a kid, and
Right,
I've
you know
never.
exactly what I'm talking about, right?
Yes. And you're so right. And honestly, so many games, I mean, it makes me think of even like like Old Maid, or like
Just
Guess Who.
cards in general,
Yeah, it's just
obviously,
card. Exactly.
like
Yeah, right.
playing
And
cards.
yeah, and tarot was a game, itself. So like that, I love that connection. That's so great. I read in preparation for this interview, I read your full birthing story of your son, Kalo Sol, that you share on your website, which is, it's an incredible story. It's a harrowing story. I don't
Love
expect you
that
to
word.
recount the full story right now.
Yeah, that'd be a whole
Right.
podcast
Although I do recommend everybody, go read it. It's really an amazing story. But I want to focus on one aspect of it in particular, which stood out to me early on in the story, which was the opinions and feelings that you shared about motherhood and how that had sort of changed for you through the process of, actually becoming a mother, as I'm sure it, tends to do. And you write, quote, "I never thought that motherhood would be for me, so I never closely observed those around me preparing for and going through it. In truth, I'm embarrassed to say that I wrote the experience of motherhood off entirely as unfeminist and an archaic use of a modern woman's time and faculties."
Ugh, that is so embarrassing now.
Well, speak
With
a little
what
bit
I
about,
know.
yeah, so speak to
Yeah.
us about that and how that's changed for you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, like a complete 180. First of all, anything that I've ever said that I would never do, I end up like that ends up like being a freaking calling. So I just am gonna stop saying that I'm never gonna do that because that's always tends to be how it goes. So what's funny about why it's funny to me is because yeah, once I like went through that portal that is pregnancy and birth, like I very much clearly found my calling, and now I changed my entire life and business to like revolve around the work of bringing new humans into the world. You know, I because of like the formative experiences that are happening when a new spirit is being gestated, when their body is being created, because of how important I know those early experiences are of like how they can show up in the world when they like grow up to be adults, and how those experiences impact how the parents are able to parent them. I genuinely believe that like birth work is the root of the revolution. I think like all of us are doing our own work, you know, towards the revolution. We're all contributing in all kinds of ways. We all are like taking up space in like the branch of a tree, of which is the problem of like colonial white supremacist patriarchy. To me, like the root of life is like a way to be working at the root of where a lot of those issues, you know, how people you hear about like the school to prison pipeline. It's actually like the birth to prison pipeline. So like if we can be giving a fuck about like people who are going through those experiences. Like I know a ton of people who, because they don't want children themselves, they like are really uninterested in interacting with them or even like talking to or hearing about people who are going through these experiences. And I have empathy for that because it's rooted in trauma. Like most of us don't have like positive memories of our early implicit memory, like our most formative, is anti-racist, is anti-oppressive. Like how we treat children is just like a microcosm of how of like where oppressive systems start. You know what I'm saying? Like with the control and subjugation and setting them up to be a part of the capitalist workforce, you know, like all of it.
Are there ways that you work with a child when it is like in gestation as a doula? Like talk about that. It's something I hadn't really thought about until just now, you know, speaking with you.
Not me personally. I would say it's something that I encourage my pregnant clients to do. It's certainly something I'm doing with the baby I'm currently gestating, and it's working with them before I even conceived them, because this was a conscious conception, like utilizing sex magic, very much calling in like who was supposed to come next in our lineage, in our like shared lineages. And so, yeah, like there's a couple of books I recommend to people. One is called Spirit Babies by Walter Mechgen. And then the other one is called The Secret Life of Babies. And it's crazy because, like, it's wild because nobody would pick up those books probably if they weren't gestating themselves or like planning to or trying or even like trying and having issues, like, because sometimes fertility issues are like it's a spiritual manifestation, not just a physical manifestation. You know what I'm saying? So, but it can be very healing to read these things just about yourself because you start to understand, you start to put together some pieces, if, especially if you know any part of your own birth story, you know, about or just what your gestational parent was going through at the time that they were gestating you. Because, you know, in tarot, we know that water communicates emotion, and you're like it literally in water inside of your birth parent. You're feeling their feelings. We're like heavily impacted by what they were going through. So just a small example is like my mother had experienced miscarriages for like 19 years before she was able to successfully get pregnant with my sister, my older sister. And then she had another miscarriage in between her. And then so I was the next one. So, you know, you could just dive into what that might mean about what she's feeling and going through, like while gestating me. And similarly with my kiddo, I miscarried right before him. And I had a lot of expectations of it happening again because of my mother's story. So like, I was really not invested in his pregnancy until like 20 weeks in, because I was just expecting to lose it again. You know, it was not like, not happy times at all in the beginning. Like the realm, the spirit realm that like babies are in is like its own thing, you know, like it's not necessarily the same as like where the dead go. And that's why, like, when you miscarry or when you choose to terminate, I know you put it on the list that you are willing to talk about abortion and stuff too, because I have like a spiritual perspective on that. Like, while some spirits might be upset or hurt or traumatized by like their plans for incarnating being foiled, which is what you'd be doing, you know, by setting a body boundary and saying, I'm not willing to be a host for your spirit right now. Mm-hmm. Like, some are fine with that and some are not, you know? And so like, you can be talking to them, like, because abortion is healthcare, because everybody deserves it, that doesn't mean it's not still ceremony. And that doesn't mean that it's not still something we can be honoring that spirit's experience. You could communicate with them and be like, it's a not right now, or it's a never, go find another family to incarnate through, you know, like babies choose their parents. I believe babies choose their parents with like specific, you know, karmic goals they're trying to work out, which is like, you know, a tough thing to hear when we have like trauma from our parents, you know, like hearing I chose that sounds a little like victim blamey, or can. But you know, when you're a baby, when you're like a new spirit, like, you know, you're still very connected to your soul assignment, you know, how like we're all just trying to find our way back to what we're here to do, you know. But they're still in it, you know. Like, the postpartum period is a very like spiritual time, because like they're still very much like a new earthling, you know.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So how do you think that the experience of the way that the child was conceived plays into that, you know, as far as like with questions of abortion, such as rape or incest or things like that? Yeah. You know, like, how does that play into all of that?
It depends on what that soul has already been through. If that soul has already experienced some like past life trauma of maybe rejection and stuff, a termination might be really a hard blow for that particular soul, you know, whereas other ones might be like they can to some degree see what's going on in your life, I think, and be like, yeah, that checks out, you maybe shouldn't gestate me right now or something. I think it has everything to do with it. Like, I think that we culturally are starting to be more willing to look at our childhood trauma and think about how like how our parents treated us show up in our relationships and our attachments, whether they be secure or not, like our self-worth, what space we feel like taking up. That all starts, you know, that early within gestation. So like, I think it makes a difference whether a child is like wanted or not. Like, I'm not saying that, like, as with any traumatic experience, repair is possible, you know. So if like if you chose to have your baby that was conceived in a traumatic way, repair is still possible, as with all things trauma related. I can understand why you wouldn't want that to be the basis of that human's life, but it might still be a part of that soul's story, because like that could have been them, you know. Like I said, I miscarried shortly before I got pregnant with Kahlo. And in my opinion, it was him. I just think that he wanted to come on his own terms and not on mine. I planned the first pregnancy and then barely had like a full menstrual cycle before becoming pregnant with Kahlo, like way too soon, was definitely still grieving, hadn't really even healed my body yet, you know. But then he was ready. So I don't put that belief on anybody who like wants to believe that like certain children that either they chose to terminate or that they lost are like whole separate souls. To me, for my case, I think it was the same person. And that, there's a lot of reasons why I think that, you know, like feelings right. I have at everything. So it's different every time. But yeah, like that soul might still be having that experience, even if you think you're saving them from having that experience by terminating.
So one of the things that I really love in the book is that you include passages or chapters by other authors. Is that something that you knew that you wanted to do right away? And sort of how did you make that choice and choose those authors?
Yes, I was from the beginning collecting wisdom that was not just my own. Like, I'm aware of my enormous limitations as like a cis white woman. I'm aware of like what my privilege doesn't allow me to see, regardless of how much work and learning I do, you know? And thankfully, because I actually got a book deal, I could hire writers to write whole chapters that I didn't feel equipped to write. Like Sonia Estelle, the Word Witch, wrote the History of Tarot chapter, which to me is like the best, most thorough history of tarot.
Yes.
Love any book. Like, yes. So yeah, even if you're into tarot and don't give a shit about any of the birthy stuff, like, I think it's worthwhile just to have for Sonia's chapter. Honestly, she's incredibly thorough. Mm-hmm. We share like a love of etymology and just origins of words and how we come to use them. And I knew that like the lens she would bring to that chapter would be way better than what I could do. And likewise, I had a midwife, Dr. Stephanie Mitchell, who's building the first freestanding birth center in rural Alabama. She wrote the History of Birth in the U.S. chapter. And then there's all of, like you've seen, like all of the quotations that aren't necessarily from authors. They're from birth workers who, like, I genuinely am just giddy to see their name in a book, you know, like, mm-hmm. This is wisdom that like we're just passing around on Instagram, but it's important, you know, and emergent. And again, because I got a book deal, it's not standard practice by any means in the industry to pay people to quote them, but I reached out to everybody who is quoted in the book and asked if I could compensate them. So yeah, like it felt like it was all in like right relationship and reciprocity as much as I could, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree that history chapter that Sonia wrote is incredibly thorough. We just right? did sort of a deep dive of tarot history on the podcast, me and my co-host Angie. We did five episodes of just, you know, 30-minute episodes, like trying to just give a really solid overview, you know, that obviously you could go deeper into. Yeah.
Well, and Sonia really leaves off where most people start, you know, like she's going for like the history of like cards, period, yes. You know, and therefore like how that ended, because like divination with cards is as old as cards, you know,
right?
And all of the cultures that played into it, like that was a big reservation of mine forever accepting my own clients as a tarot reader, is that like I've never seen somebody talk about the history of tarot in a way that I couldn't confirm for sure that I wasn't like necessarily culturally appropriating it, you know, like they would just be like, it's mysterious and like everybody's mm-hmm. contributed to it, which is like true, but like I don't like leaving shit at that. I'm an investigator, but that particular like digging was not something that excited me, and I think it did excite her, so thankfully like it was aligned. It was supposed to write that, but yeah, she leaves off like after where most people would start talking about like actual tarot decks like that are being created with intention to be used for divination. I talk about Pamela Coleman Smith and everything, but that's on my own later when it's like applicable in the chapters, you know?
Yeah, it's really spectacular. And then in the section about the minor arcana, I'm going to quote you again. You write, quote, "The divine realization that the energy of each number of the minor arcana aligns poignantly with the energy of each month of pregnancy was one of the major catalysts that inspired me to write this book." So will you talk a little bit about that?
Oh, of course. Yeah. So like there, it was twofold. Why I decided to write the book. One was that I knew that people who were avoiding using tarot as a tool in pregnancy because of some, you know, stickier cards that they didn't know how to read in a very vulnerable state where like you, there's a lot of fear and stuff. So if you don't know how to read like the death card coming up to you when you're pregnant, then you know, that could be something that you just avoid using entirely. And that doesn't sit well with me because it's such like an important tool for retrospection and communication with your ancestors, who are like one of the only unbiased opinions you're going to get in terms of your like prenatal care and your birth plan and all of it. You really, in my opinion, need to like have that relationship with your guides and ancestors when you're going into parenthood. And then, yeah, I was like, how come nobody's ever noticed that, like, you know, the aces being conception, fertility, and then each month also, like, I happened to have like three pregnant people close to me, whether they were clients or friends at the time when that happened. It was like a meditative drive when I was just like, even in the sixes, like the month six of pregnancy is kind of when like some of your sex drive returns and stuff, and those are themes that come up in the sixes. And then in the tens, like gestation, a full gestation is 40 weeks. So that's like 9.5 months. It can go up to 42 or longer, even if it's undisturbed. So yeah, the tens are like either the final month of pregnancy or birth and postpartum. So the tens are really loaded because they hold those final weeks of pregnancy. They hold birth, which is huge, and then postpartum experiences. So thankfully my editor and my publisher were like game for me to have some like unbalanced chapters. I was able to write as much as I wanted to write about each thing because not everything like needs as much. They didn't need to all be like equal. You know what I'm saying? Some things just are more relevant. So yeah, each month actually like aligns with each numerological like number of the tarot. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just like couldn't believe that nobody's connected those dots before. When you Google tarot for pregnancy before this book existed, you would get like, you know, here's some cards that might represent fertility or that you're pregnant, like the Empress, like really basic shit that's like not even helpful, to be honest, or like some spreads to do.
Right.
It like was pretty scant for such a huge aspect of like, to me, like, because the act of like creating a whole new human puts you through the gauntlet of like pretty much every single archetype in the tarot, you know, like it's a, if you let it, it can be one big like shadow work assignment to be pregnant and birth and go through postpartum, you know?
Yeah. So were these connections, were these like connections that you were making in an emergent way, like as you were actively going through it, or was it in reflection, or sort of how did all these thoughts come together for you?
At the time that it was coming, that most stuff was coming, it was on behalf of observation in my like pregnant friends and clients and and yes, remembering myself, but at the time like I was already like 3 years into parenthood, relatively new in my doula practice. Like the hardest part of the entire thing was getting out of my own way, because I was like, I'm still a pretty new doula, like where the fuck do I get off feeling like I could write a book? But it was coming. I was just writing it anyways, regardless of whether or not I made sense to be the one to write it. It was coming. So like I just, the majority of the book was written like that. Like I just honored what came through when it came through. There was like a concerted push that I had at a certain time to write like a bulk of the book that hadn't been written yet, once I was on an actual deadline. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, like I said, I have ADHD. So it was, thankfully I could write the majority of it as inspiration flowed, because there isn't really like any forcing that for me, not in a good way. Like I wouldn't write anything very good if I were forced to do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Who was the artist on the book?
Her name's Kimberly Rodriguez. On Instagram, you might know her handle as Poeta Goddess. Her art is beautiful and ancestral and gritty. I love its like imperfections in the people. And there's something about her art that just like really frees me and unlocks like certain like DNA codes, I feel like. So yeah, you'll get to see a lot more of her art in the deck. There's actually a Tarot for Pregnancy deck coming out. I don't have a pre-order available for that yet or a date that it's coming out yet, but it's done. I'm done with my booklet writing part of it. We're done working on all the imagery together. And so it'll be in color. The book is not in color in the illustration. So yeah, her art really pops.
You know, one of the pieces of art in the book that I really loved and that honestly like stopped me in my tracks was the magician, because I've never seen the magician shown with more than one person, you know, and in the book, you're speaking about the magician in relation to the act of sexual union, which makes total sense, you know, but I've never seen that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love this so much. Like, will you kind of talk about that a little bit, how that idea came around?
Well, I'm loving your take on it already because it's already different from my intentions, but I love it because that's the point, you know? If we can look at like the aces as like early conception, fertility, the magician is also likewise early on in the fool's journey. That is alchemizing all of those elements. Like when you are creating a human, you're alchemizing like the nutrients from your food, like the water from your blood, the fire from your sexuality, your literal oxygenated breath, you know, into a human. Like sex magic to like make a baby is not like probably as daunting as some people might think of sex magic to get like some other kind of outcome for their spell work. You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to encourage people to be like that conscious conception doesn't just mean tracking your cycle. Conscious conception, like at best, we've seen people like maybe prepare nutritionally, but that is also like pretty rare in our culture. Like when people say that they tried for a baby, they usually mean they tracked when they were going to ovulate and then intentionally had sex. That's it. You know, like not that they prepared their bodies to have nutrients to give away to this, you know, essentially scientifically, it's a parasite who's like living off of your nutritional stores. And that's why people feel like such shit in the first trimester, because it takes a lot to build a human from scratch. It takes a lot out of you. It's an exhausting endeavor that nobody sees, and you don't look pregnant yet. So nobody really accommodates for it either. But anywho, I wanted to just have a scene of people doing intentional sex magic, what it looks like to meld your souls and call in a new one to say like, we're ready to welcome in our next family member.
I think one of the reasons that it struck me was because sometimes the magician gets a bad rap for maybe being kind of egotistical or kind of self-centered, you know, it's oftentimes talked about like as manifesting your desire, you know, as an individual. And I found it like really expansive to see more than one being depicted. And so it also made it more of an energy and less of a single person archetype, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of like the negative connotations that come with the magician are rooted in some of like cultural, puritanical, like look at somebody who practices magic as a trickster, you know? And like, I think that there's a slipperiness to that energy too, you know, I don't like to deny the like shadow aspects of any cards. But like, honestly, what's so cool about all of this is that I had the privilege of speaking exactly to what aspects of a card or an archetype I wanted to, because this is like technically a niche book, even though I think it's applicable to everybody. It's like a niche take on everything. So I didn't have to be like speaking to here's how this card could be showing up in this other way. I'm talking specifically to how I think magician energy is applicable to pregnancy and birth and like becoming a parent. So I could like choose to leave out what I didn't think was applicable or didn't think was emergent, you know, like a necessary way to look at the cards. And for the deck, some cards do get a little bit of a different, like the deck will be its own thing. The booklet that goes with it is not a carbon copy of Tarot for Pregnancy, the book. Like for some reason, things came through a little differently and I just trusted that. And so yeah, it might be different.
Something that I've been personally really thinking a lot about recently is the power of looking at the tarot through a really niche or particular lens, because sometimes I find that it's a little overwhelming to just the expansive possibility of tarot, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like, this could mean so many things.
Like a generalized take is often like not what anybody needs for their specific moment. Yeah.
And so when I got to, as I was reading the book, when I got to the Emperor chapter, which for a lot of people is a really sticky card. I like the word sticky that you used.
That's a Lindsay Mack thing.
Oh yeah. Okay. And, you know, that's when it kind of clicked. I was like, wow, there's a lot of expanse, in looking at, you know, this particular card in this particular way. It really like changes some of the stereotypical, you know, language that you might normally hear around it. So I'm curious, as you wrote this book, you know, how did it impact your overall tarot practice, you know, just in general? And were there certain cards that did kind of open up for you in a new way?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to use the word that you used in your email because I loved it. But you asked me if any cards bloomed for me upon writing about them. And yes. 100%. Like to live through the experiences of the cards, you know, helps you understand it one way, right? You can read about it, you can memorize like the brass tacks of it, and then you can go through a life experience and then you like intimately know that shit. And then to write about it, to try and like channel something helpful, is just another way of knowing, another way of being in relationship to the cards. So to me, some of the cards that like really bloomed were all of the aces. Like what you can really start to understand, like, because you know how when an ace comes up, it's kind of like, cool, but not necessarily anything to do with that information. It's just right. Like a little gift, you know, it's the start of something. It holds the potential of everything else. I was really able to start seeing those like seeds as for all that they could contain, the entire suit possible of experience within those is the same as like being at the start of pregnancy. And like, you don't exactly know how that journey is going to unfold, but like, here's what's possible. If we're going on, like, you know, if it's Ace of Cups, this is going to be our like emotional intelligence journey, those kind of things. So the aces were cool to work with. I have a lot to say about a lot of the major arcana cards, but one of my ones I wanted to talk about was the Ten of Swords. Really like starts to make a lot of sense when you look at it through a perspective of birth and postpartum. Because like I said, we're at the end of this early postpartum birth and late pregnancy experiences. And I know that like some people don't like to look at the Ten of Swords as like the backstabby kind of like betrayal card that it can be, like that doesn't seem evolved, you know, nobody mm-hmm. wants to go there with it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, actually, that makes all the sense in the world. Like when you hear people saying like, nobody ever told me this about XYZ, about when you're postpartum, or where the hell is everybody who was so excited for me when I was pregnant and now my fucking nipples are bleeding and I'm hungry and nobody's taking care of me now. Like betrayal postpartum is real. Like being left feeling like nobody's there for you, or like your expectations are really let down, is a big likelihood postpartum. So Ten of Swords to me almost like only makes sense through that way. I would say now I have a little bit of an issue of only reading the cards through the way that I wrote them. And I'm on my own journey of like reopening myself again to like all the possibilities that they could be, instead of kind of like tunnel visioning on like what I know them to be through like this one lens, you know?
Right.
And then there's things like, I am a huge fan of the Devil card. Like I am not somebody who's scared when it comes up. Cause to me, Devil card energy. Oh, also one more thing about the Ten of Swords. And I want to speak to one of my, somebody I've learned a lot from, Lindsay Mack and her podcast, Tarot for the Wild Soul, their episode on the Ten of Swords speaks to like the pain of that, that comes with that card is like a, the pain of trying to fit back into an old self. And when they said that, I was like, yes, this is like the friction you come up against when you are no longer the same, but the world is either wanting you to snap back or go back to work or just be able to be your old self again when you're not, you're completely changed, you're leveled. Like birth is a tower experience pretty much no matter what, no matter how good it goes, like you're leveled after that and we're rebuilding. So when either there's outside pressure to fit back into an old version of yourself, or if it's internal pressure that like we've internalized over just from the snapback culture, that also really like helps Ten of Swords make sense. It's pain of trying to fit back into an old self that you really can't be anymore. Like you're wholly changed by this experience. Even that's to me is like, when I said like I thought it was unfeminist to have children, it's because I thought you had to give yourself up. And you kind of fucking do, but like you're only causing yourself more strife to try and like stay your old self, like to not allow the transformation to fit back in like your chrysalis when like you've got wings now, you know, it doesn't it doesn't work. That can be painful. So yeah, and then as I was saying, moving on to the Devil card, one of the things that Lindsay Mack points out about the Devil card is that it's not necessarily, it's the Devil card is coming up because it's pointing to the chains that you're already in, that you've maybe even agreed to be in. So to me, that brings up, because pregnancy and birth are way more inherently sexual experiences than our culture likes to acknowledge. Like once people become pregnant, we like relegate them to like a kind of virginal Madonna archetype instead of, you know, the whore. When really like most of us, not everybody, but most, many of us get pregnant via the act of sex. So it doesn't make any sense. And then birth is like a pinnacle of that experience. All of the hormones are the same that are occurring to make labor start and to birth, like are the same. As somebody who is a birth worker, a birthing space and a sexual space have a lot of similarities in sounds, in hormones, all of that. So clearing and healing some of that like purity culture shame, which is what I feel like the Devil card is calling you to do, is showing you like that there is like maybe a modesty mindset or a purity mindset that could get in your way in birth, literally, like especially because the majority of us are still birthing somewhere where we don't necessarily feel comfortable even being naked, like yeah, and in front of strangers.
Yeah. So, you know, what's your kind of greatest hope that people will take away from this book when they read it and interact with it?
I hope that like, and this is how I feel about my tarot readings too. I hope that it just affirms what they already knew. They just didn't know they knew it, you know, like, because the point is for you to not be relying, like if I'm going to want you to not rely on like this hierarchy of systems of anybody who you were putting in a position of power above you, this is what I talk about a lot in the Hierophant card. Like when we're pregnant, we tend to even really like self-sovereign people tend to delegate our power away to an authority figure who we think knows better than us, whether that's your OB or your midwife or your pediatrician or anybody who like we assume knows our bodies and our babies better than we know ourselves. So like the point of this was to put the power back in your hands to remind you that it was never gone. So yeah, I hope that like even if they're like, this book is trash, it's irrelevant, I'm smarter than this, that would be a win for me, you know, like that's the goal.
Yeah. So to close out this amazing conversation, thank you so much for this today. What would you say that you're searching for right now in your life?
Ooh, what a juicy question. So like, I haven't talked a whole lot about it yet because I'm still very much in the portal of it. I'm in the collecting phase. Like to me, when I'm pregnant, now, like as a birth worker and as a writer and as a tarot reader, it's all information gathering. It's all material, like all the shit I'm going through. So this pregnancy has really been calling me to seek out and take up space in pleasure, to like allow that to be abundant instead of like just good enough, you know. Like I'm polyamorous, I'm ethically non-monogamous, and at like just through parenthood like taking precedent, I hadn't like taken the time to explore that aspect of myself. And to be honest, I have such a supportive, solid partner who I'm having my babies with that it can almost even feel selfish to like continue to seek connections and partnerships and pleasure outside of what's like really working and already really good, you know. So the theme of this pregnancy is kind of doing whatever the fuck I want. I have extreme like privilege in being able to do that right now. Like I'm coming out of I was very early pregnant when Tarot for Pregnancy launched, so like that was a big work push. And then I kind of had a much easier time with the editing process and even the writing process for the Tarot for Pregnancy deck. And because of being pregnant, I knew I wanted to slim down on and stop like taking doula clients. I really wanted to just be the only pregnant person I had to worry about for this time period. Again, a privilege I have to choose, but I think if I did, if I do have the privilege to choose it, I have the obligation to choose it. So I can model that, like, we aren't really supposed to be like working our asses off when we're pregnant the way that we do. And even though most people don't have any way around that, don't have necessarily the privilege of opting out of that, some like just haven't thought about the ways in which you might be able to like opt out of working your ass off while pregnant, especially early pregnancy. I'm in my second trimester now. I'm 17 weeks pregnant. I'm getting some of my energy back. I'm ready to be of service again, but I was not of service to anybody for my first trimester. Like I was just laid out, nauseous, exhausted. It took all of my energy just to feed myself and like, you know, grow an eyeball or a leg that day, you know. And that's how I would love for us to be treating pregnant people, with that level of expectation. Right. So I'm just like very fortunate, very privileged. I'm taking up a lot of space in terms of like taking care of my physical body. And I'm in search of pleasure these days.
Amazing.
Beautiful thing.
It is. That is a beautiful thing. Well, thank you, Brittany, for this, for sharing all of this, for writing this book. I mean, I know this is going to be a great source for so many people. It's an incredible book. Will you just share how people can find you and work with you and purchase the book?
Yeah. Thank you, by the way. You're very sweet and all your questions are lovely. I'm on Instagram at Brittany the Birth Witch, BRITTANY. You can buy the book wherever books are sold. I like to direct people to Bookshop because they donate a portion of their proceeds. Hopefully by the time this episode comes out, we'll have a pre-order link for the Tarot for Pregnancy deck. But if not, you can sign up for my email list and like be the first to know when that's going to come out. That's through my website, thebirthwitch.com. You can book me for readings or virtual doula consultations. Those are what I'm doing right now. I'm not taking any doula clients, but I am still doing readings and yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Well, thank you again. And I wish you the best with your pregnancy that you're in now.
Thank you so much, Nick. This is great.
In Search of Tarot is independently written, recorded, edited, and transcribed by Nick Kepley and Angie Miller. You can follow Angie on Instagram at birdgirl_, that's BIRDGERHL_, and you can follow me, Nick, on Instagram at In Search of Tarot. Have a question or a comment? Email us at isotpod@gmail.com. We also invite you to leave us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts.